The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
College athletics offer special experiences on college campuses, with student-athletes sitting beside their fellow students in the classroom and then going off to produce often amazing performances in their respective sports. At UW-Milwaukee, two of the highest-profile sports are men's and women's basketball. On this edition of UWM Today, we're presenting our annual preview of the upcoming seasons as we hear from the two head coaches, Rob Jeter leading the men's team and Kyle Recklitz, head coach of the women's team. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Good to have you here. And Kyle, let's begin with you because you're still relatively new to us. Rob's an old hand. He's been around for a while.
And I'm trying to follow his lead.
Yeah, he's done. Can't tell by the gray hair.
Well, you're in your second year, Kyle, here at UWM, but not new to Wisconsin, certainly, having played just a little bit to the west of us before coming to Milwaukee.
Yeah, definitely. And the second year seems to be a lot easier than the first year. I think Rob can probably attest to his first year of coaching
days.
Yeah, where it's just, you know, your first year, you're going day by day. There's no plan in place. It's what can we get in today? And, you know, this year I feel like our staff has a really great plan. And so I'm very fortunate to have a lot of my people, as I consider them, but my staff back. And the support around, you know, the Milwaukee community has been amazing. You know, the men's staff has been very welcoming to us, which obviously helps us in our daily operations. And just the whole university is very supportive.
And what an exciting experience for you to be coaching here in Milwaukee, having played for the Badgers.
Yeah, coming back to Wisconsin has been great. You know, I was in Ohio for 8 years, which seems to be a very long time. But, you know, being back, it's just, like I said, welcoming is the best word. You know, Wisconsin is an amazing state. You know, people really, you know, support their sports teams, programs. They get out to games and they care about basketball. And so it's nice to be in a state that, you know, has basketball on their minds. And, you know, hopefully as we continue to win and build our program, the fans will continue to come out more even.
Well, and Rob, you know all about the Wisconsin sports scene. I mean, going back to the days of your dad, right?
Right.
Bob Jeter, who was a Green Bay Packer.
Yeah.
Legendary.
Yeah.
Legendary Mr. Jeter.
There you go.
And you grew up watching the Packers play and that amazing fan support. And your background, of course, has something to do with a guy named Bo Ryan over in Madison.
Bo Knows, right? You remember the old commercials, Bo Knows. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough watching the Packers now. Now without Aaron Rodgers on the field, it's kind of, wow, where do they go from there? But, you know, obviously you mentioned my dad playing for the Packers. I got a lot of football blood in my family. That's how we actually got to Chicago, because my dad was traded to the Chicago Bears. A lot of people don't realize that. But now I'm back here in Wisconsin. I love it. And I spend a lot of time with Bo. Played for Bo at Platteville, coached with him for a lot of years. And, I mean, so many years that I probably picked up a few of his mannerisms, too. So sometimes that's a good thing. For other things, it probably could be a bad thing.
Well, you both have done some amazing things in your years here. So let's talk about the upcoming season. And Rob, you're on a roll here. You literally have come off a huge win very early in the season. We're taping today on November 13th, but you just came off of a great win against Davidson, a team that went to the NCAA tournament last year.
Yeah, a team that I think, if I'm correct, going into that game had won 19 straight home openers. And we came in and crashed the party. You know, Bob McKillop has been there for 25-plus years, coached the USA basketball team, the World University Games, which used to be the Olympic team, the old Olympic team, all college players. So he's very well respected in the coaching community. I thought our guys played great. We have a lot of new guys, and we grew up down in Davidson, so hopefully we can continue on that path.
Well, and you do have a fresh team this year. This really is Rob Jeter's team. I mean, you know, at this point, everybody that is there are no holdovers from the years when Bruce Pearl was around, and it's a fresh start.
It is a fresh start. Again, 11 new guys. A lot of guys, this is only their second game at this level, Division I, and second game as a group. So when you put that all together, there's a lot of question marks. And I think our first contest out, you could see some of the rustiness on some of the guys. You can see some of the anxiousness. Some of the guys were moving a little too fast. I thought our second game, we slowed down a little bit. You can see that guys are starting to settle in on their roles. Guys are having fun playing together. And as a result, I thought we played much better. Our 20 minutes, our last 20 minutes against Davidson was probably our best 20 minutes of basketball in a year. So I'm excited about that.
And you had a tough last year. I mean, it was one that you want to put behind you and move forward.
Well, I've been coaching now for a while, and I've been part of some of those seasons where you just have to rebuild it. And, last year was something we really couldn't control. We had a lot of injuries. And when that happens, you just have to play it out, and you have to make sure that you're getting better. And you just don't scrap everything that you're used to doing, but take it as a learning experience and build on it for this season. As a result, so far, I think we've learned some lessons from last year, and we're much further ahead than we were at this time last season.
So, Kyle, are you inspired after seeing the men get this huge win really early in the season? What does that do to you and your coaching staff and of course, the women's team?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, the next day I walked into practice, and I've been listening to Rob talk a lot, before the season about how his team is really focused on the fundamentals and finishing. Those are two big things, is fundamentals and finishing. And that goes everything from free throws, you got to make your free throws, to just, when the game is towards the end and it's in your hands, how are you going to finish it? I walked into practice the next day and I told our team it's a perfect example of the stuff that we've been drilling ourselves, is just, whether you're down in the middle of a game or whether you're ahead, you have to focus on the now and you have to do everything you can. And they played with a lot of heart. And that's exactly what I told our team going into our first game against Wisconsin, is whether we win or lose that game, I want people that walk out of the stands to say, Milwaukee outplayed Wisconsin. They put it all on the line. And our men's team did that. So they were a great example for us going into our first game of the season.
And that first game is coming up on tonight, Thursday night, as
yes.
this game plays. And, of course, you're playing a great team.
Yes, we are. And I know the players very well. I actually coached
the Badgers.
There.
You're playing the Badgers.
Yeah, playing the Badgers. And I coached them a year before I came here. So I was there for 1 year, recruited in a class of four and had three committed players. So I know seven people on the roster are players that I kind of brought into Wisconsin. They're very talented. And, they're playing at a very different level than they were even last year. But so are we. And I told our girls, going into this game, we can win this game. And it's all about confidence, and it's about the effort that you're going to put forward. And we're ready. We're definitely, we've been itching to play somebody other than ourselves or our practice guys. I know Rob can attest to that. When you finally get right on that court, it just feels so good to tip it off against somebody that was wearing a different color jersey.
And especially with the new rules, because we can start like you guys have been able to start early. So it seems like we had been practicing for a long time. So now I understand how you guys have felt being able to practice for those extra 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. You talk about the new kids on the team, and both of you have some. Mm-hmm. There's that. I'm certain that feeling of freshness and the season is still so young. All the potential is there. How do you go ahead and channel all that enthusiasm with these 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, I'll call them kids, mm-hmm. and have them come together and put together a product like they did, Rob, the other night playing Davidson?
Well, the first thing we talked about, guys, is if you want to be on the court, you need to have that passion, that energy, that enthusiasm. So you want them to display that. But then after that, you really want them to focus in on, as Kyle said, the process or the steps, everything that's right in front of them, things that they can control. So for us, it's one possession at a time. It's the next right thing that you can do. It's not compounding a mistake by making one and then turning it into two. So you just try to do those things every day, try to make them do the same drills so you can kind of drill it into them how you want them to play, and then they buy in. So the first thing is, after the enthusiasm, is getting them to buy in. And once they buy in, then now it's just, okay, let's stick to the plan. Plan your work and work your plan is something we always tell our guys.
How many hours a day do your teams practice?
That's a compliance issue right there.
Yeah. We're at about 2.5 hours now. But when we think about our newcomers, my biggest thing too is I feel like I have to tell them to breathe sometimes. I mean, Rob talked about the first game, just the angst of going into a first game and the anxiety that comes. Mm-hmm. You talk about anxiety with your upperclassmen, freshmen, it's like their eyes are big and wide. They have no clue what is gonna happen. And so you just have to tell them, breathe. It's still the basketball game. You've been playing this for how many years of your life? Go out there, have fun, don't overthink. And you just got to know as a coach that they're going to make mistakes. Yeah. And it's just one of the things that as a coach, you got to, you know, you can get on your upperclassmen a little bit harder than you can your newcomers right now, because they're just taking in every little piece of information.
Right. And that goes on those lines again of, if you make one, just don't make two.
Exactly.
If you make two, just don't turn into three mistakes. And I think that's where the upperclassmen really come into play, because I know for us, being down at Davison, and we were down in our timeouts, we're trying to come up with strategies to try to get everything turned around. It was really neat to see that some of the returning players, before we'd even came into the timeout, as coaching staff, they were coaching the younger players and getting them to understand where we wanted to be and where they needed to go. So the leadership is starting to form, and I think that's the next piece. After you get the buy-in and you get all of the enthusiasm, then the next piece is leadership, and you're starting to see some leaders form on our team.
It sounds like you both subscribe to the sports philosophy of that legendary sports philosopher, Casey Stengel, who said, thinking is stinking in sports.
That's right.
You know, you have to think enough, but you don't want to overthink,
right?
Because if you're 18, 19 years old and you're in a big house, yeah, with thousands of people watching you, pretty easy to get rattled, isn't it?
Oh, it can be, but that's why, I mean, I think that's what practice, that's why we practice so much, is just, You've done this. We try to tell them all the time, this isn't the first time that you've hit that game winner. You just did it in practice 2 days ago.
Right.
You know, it's just, that's why you got to get those repetitions in. And, you know, Rob and I were sitting out in the hall talking just a little bit ago about, you can overthink as a coach too.
Right.
And sometimes you just got to let those natural instincts and let them be players.
How much strategy goes into planning each and every game? Are you bringing your same basic game plan in no matter who you're up against, or do you create special plays and have a special game plan for the Badgers, for example, you know, a big marquee team that you're going to be playing against?
I think you have you have your culture. So you have your team's culture, what you're going to pride yourselves on. You know, for us, you know, rebounding is a big thing. We want to be the best rebounding team in our league this year. That's something that we're really priding ourselves on. So those are consistent, game in and game out. But, you know, I think every team, you have to prepare for something different. So the scouting is a big part of our jobs. It takes a lot of time. You watch a lot of film, you know, try to put your players in the best position possible so that we can win the game.
And I think as coaches, we're always trying to prepare ourselves to beat the best teams. So when you look at every team, there's strengths and weaknesses on that team. Based on the core of what you do, I really think as coaches, you're hitting the core of basketball. You're hitting the passing and catching. You're hitting, you know, how you want to guard ball screens, all the basics. But when you watch a team, there's certain things that you see that they struggle in, so you might highlight that a little bit more in your attack on them offensively. Defensively, if they're really good at doing things that might be a weakness of yours, then you really want to drill some of those things going in. But if it's a strength of yours, then you just have to make sure these guys understand that we have to be alert to what they want to do. So that's where scouting comes in really. It's really big. It's really big and really important for us, scouting.
When you recruit players, student athletes to come in, how much do you have to change them to make them become part of your team? Do they come in with bad habits, or do they come in with ways of doing things that might be good in high school but just is not going to cut it at the college level?
Well, I think in recruiting, you try to identify those guys that you don't have to change that much because we all have habits. Like I tell my guys, we all have habits. Let's make sure we have good habits because habits are hard to break, good or bad. So we want guys with good habits. So in recruiting, we're trying to identify guys with good habits. Now, there's always that talented kid out there that is the reason why they're at a Milwaukee is because they have a few bad habits, but they're super talented. I mean, they're high major talented. Those are the ones that we're willing to work with and try to turn around. So it is a balancing act, but and ideally you want to recruit kids with good habits.
I think you hit the nail on the head. It's recruiting. It's, you know, and it's not even, it's, you have to recruit players that want to be coached too. I think it's a personality thing. So, you know, through your interactions with them, which, you know, recruiting is, it's not just an offer and acceptance. You have to get to know their parents, their families, their coaches, their preacher. You know, you just, whoever is close to that person, you get to know them as part of the recruiting process. And, you know, there's been some times where we've recruited players and I've been really close to making an offer. And at the last second, you know, I said, you know, I'm not sure sure, for as talented as they are, I'm not sure they're willing to break some of these habits,
right.
Which means then are they going to be more of a problem in the program or more of a benefit?
Right.
And so I think for as much as, you know, Rob is definitely talking about the great part of recruiting is you get to pick the habits that you want and think you can break, but it also has to be a personality characteristic.
Because right. you're really inviting them to become part of your family.
Part of family, yeah. Absolutely. And when we lay down at night, we want to make sure that our student athletes are doing are making the right choices and the right decisions. So there's a lot that goes into recruiting.
Yeah, and we spend a lot. I would say we spend more time with our players and our coaches than we actually do with our real families during the season.
Exactly.
So you definitely want to be around people, you know, that you like and get along with.
Yeah.
Well, a reminder for our listeners that they're spending time today listening to the two head basketball coaches at UWM. I'm Tom Lujack, and this is UWM Today, and Rob Jeter and Kyle Recklitz are in the studio. And just as they're at the very, very beginning of their regular season, as they begin to hit the boards for another exciting year of basketball around UWM. You know, we've been talking about what it's like to be a coach and what it's like to have these young people come in and become part of your team. I suspect there may be some listeners out there who say, well, you know, that's all great, but it's a game. And, you know, what's the value of having a game in a serious place where you should be learning things and, you know, getting ready for that career? So do you ever run into that from people who are skeptical about the big investments that colleges or universities make in their athletic programs?
Well, I don't know if I run into a lot of that, maybe because I surround myself with people that really care about what we do. But I do think people see the value in sports. I mean, it's not just college athletics. Look at pro sports. So I think there's a culture here in the United States where people value athletics. But I will tell you that, you know, athletics or sports, basketball specifically, teaches you a lot of life lessons. And that's the invaluable piece, or that's the piece that others are missing compared to student athletes. I mean, just the discipline to train, the discipline to get your studies done at a certain time, or the discipline to take correct criticism that isn't always the one that what you want to hear all the time. I think these are lessons that these guys have to learn and ladies have mm-hmm. to learn. And sports is a great way to put them out there. 2 seconds on the clock, you got to make a free throw. That's pressure. But they also know you have a support system too. So a lot of life lessons with sports and basketball.
Yeah, I think that's why you also see student athletes getting hired at a very high rate, you know, out of college is,
right.
You know, if you know, a student athlete is competing against a regular student, majority of the time that student athlete is going to get the job. It's because they've been put in those situations. And, you know, as Rob talks about the time management skills, I mean, our athletes are on such a strict time schedule, whether it's, you know, study hall, whether it's going to class, practices, traveling for games.
Yep.
I mean, you name it, team meals, community service, the list goes on and on and on. A lot of people don't see that. They think it's just playing games and going to class. I mean, there's so much more that's entailed to it, and I think that businesses and professionals that are looking to hire really see that in student athletes, and I think it helps, you know, is just all those skills that Rob was talking about that they build.
In terms of that student day, the what the student athlete is going through, what sort of support do you folks provide to them on the academic front? Is there extra help? Because, you know, if you're on a team bus or on an airplane headed out to North Carolina,
right.
You might miss some classes. You got to be away in order to represent the university. So how do you make up for that?
Well, we got to understand these guys are 18 to 23. Mm-hmm. So they do need some guidance. They're no different than any other college student that comes in first time away from home from mom and dad, and they need to be pushed in a certain direction. So extra help really comes in extra planning for them, just making sure that they have a routine that they go through. So study hall is one of those. We have academic advisors that they don't do work for them, but they make sure that they're in classes. First of all, you got to show up in order to have a chance. So they make sure they're in classes. And then when they have their time off, they make sure their time is managed appropriately so they can get work done. And then as coaches, we're trying to do all of that. We're trying to make sure that they're doing that piece, but also on the basketball piece. So you put it all together, it's a very, very, they spend a lot of time with the coaches and with the academic advisors. So I think those are some of the things that we're doing to kind of help these student athletes along.
Yeah, it's really nice. The academic support services at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee is amazing. I mean, they do an excellent job of just helping plan our student-athletes' days for them, which is a huge part. Like Rob said, 18 to 22-year-olds, it's, you know, it is what's happening next. Again, there's no plan. So it's really nice when they have that plan. And yeah. And I would say, you know, speaking from a coaching perspective, I mean, a lot of people think, you know, your college basketball coaches and what a great job you get to. You're just coaching basketball. And I would say about 20% of our job is actually coaching basketball. Yeah. So much of our job is mentoring and, you know, being there as a guide for these student athletes. This is the most important part of their life. I mean, they're journeying into who they're going to be as an adult when they leave college. They're gaining their value systems. They're away from home for the first time. And we're like their aunts and uncles who are constantly having to be there, make sure that they're okay, you know, check on their classes. And so, I mean, as a coach, you're so invested in each of their lives and you want all of them to be successful, every single one of them.
Right.
You know, I teach a course each semester in our journalism department. And I got to tell you that when I have student athletes in those classes, it's a joy because you talk about discipline. They are focused and, you know, the work is done. And it's like, okay, you know, I put the next block right on top of the other one because I've got one coming right after that. It's really a pleasure to see how interested they are in being successful. I guess Maybe that's one of the lessons that I take away looking at our athletic program. You teach success and how to deal with failure when success isn't in the cards.
Yeah, and it's that natural competitive drive too. Yeah. It's just, you know, student athletes in general, they want to win in everything they do. It's whether it's a basketball game, whether it's a test. You know, I mean, everything is a competition. I mean, we talk about...
What do you mean I got an A-?
Right.
I wanted an A.
Exactly. I mean, even getting in line first for food. I mean, it's like, it's always a competition.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, having that their inner drive as athletes to help them in the classroom.
Rob, big change for you this year in terms of location.
Yeah.
Playing back at the U.S. Cellular Arena downtown after a year back on campus at the Clatchy.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you and the program?
Well, you know, first of all, I look at the university. I think as a university, we expand not just on the east side where our main campus is. I mean, we're all across the community, and there's no better way to be more involved in the community when you're right downtown. So we play our games right downtown to sell. For us, there's a lot of great memories, and I'm sure there's a lot of great memories for the community as well. Milwaukee people, when you look at the Bucks that played there and all the greats, and then you think about all the championships that we've won down there, it just feels good. It feels comfortable for us. It was nice to be on campus to have the students walk a few hundred yards over to games. Now they just have to get on the bus a little bit. That's not a big deal. We're excited to be back downtown. I think the community also is pretty excited to have us back downtown too.
So what does it mean for the players? Was that helpful in your recruiting to say, you know, we're going to be back in a bigger house?
Oh, yeah, it was. I mean, all the guys that are in the program now were recruited to play at the Cell, and then last year we played at the Clatchy. Okay, we practiced there. Not that big of a deal. But when you start looking at recruiting, it's always how do you compare yourself to other programs and what are you doing to keep away some of the negative things that maybe someone might say about your program. And, you know, for us, you know, the fact that we've been successful and we've done a nice job of recruiting, they can't say things about that. But can they say anything about our venue? Well, that's all up for discussion. But I think for us to win championships at the Cell, there's really nothing they can say about the U.S. Cellular Arena.
And Kyle, you're back on campus. Mm-hmm. You're playing your games in a newly or much remodeled Clatchy because when
Thank
the men
you,
came
basketball.
Back, a little investment.
Well,
I mean,
teamwork,
you know,
right?
I like it.
But it's a really neat setting now for the women's program.
Oh, we actually love Clatchy for us. I mean, I totally, you know, understand and respect where, you know, Rob is coming from with his staff and just, you know, the men's basketball community. But for us, Clatchy is home. I mean, it's a perfect place for us, you know, averaging, you know, we're at 1,000 fans right now. Now, if we get up to the point where we're averaging in that 3,000s and, you know, we're having to turn people away, then I'll make a push that we need to to play maybe at the Cell and move downtown. But, you know, for us, if we can get 1,000 to 2,000 fans in there, that place can get rocking and it can get loud. And, you know, we're talking about more and making even some more adjustments to, you know, just make it even a better place for, you know, women's volleyball and women's basketball. And, you know, obviously having the video boards and stuff that were put into place last year has really changed the atmosphere down there a lot and has really helped, you know, our recruiting efforts. You know, we have recruits that come to the game all the time and they absolutely love that aspect of it. So we really love it down there and I don't have any intention of leaving.
You know, as we think about the other evolution that your programs have seen in the last few years, it really is, I think, a big story is the elevation of the mid-majors. You know, years ago, 10, 15 years ago, if you weren't Duke or you weren't UCLA, you know, one of the Big Coast teams, you know, you would presume, well, you're never going to make it into a tournament or you might make it to that first step.
Right.
It's all different now, isn't it? I mean, you know, you've got mid-majors, schools in both women and men's championship series that are just like UWM.
And I think it has a lot to do with what we're talking about, the topic of facilities. When you look across the board and you look at the mid-major programs that are representing themselves deep in the NCAA tournament, just take a look at what they have on campus. Take a look at their training facilities. Take a look at the support systems that they have, not only in academics, but also in the student training area. I mean, it is no different than being at a Wisconsin since we've both been there. So I think that's a big piece to it. The other piece that's going to be really interesting this season is the change in the rules. You know, typically at Wisconsin, the guys are bigger, stronger, more physical. Now with the new rules on the men's side, I think it's on the women's side too, is that it's not about how strong you are, it's how skilled you are. And I played Division III. Division III guys are probably more skilled than some of the guys that I have. Now, they don't jump as high. They don't run as fast. But they can shoot. They can dribble. And it doesn't matter if they're 6'5 or 6'1. Now, with the new rules in place, if you're that type of player, you're going to have more chance for success. Because as soon as someone tries to touch you or try to be physical with you, it's going to be fouls. Same thing in the low post. It's about position. It's not about strength anymore. So I don't know if we need a Ron Thompson anymore.
I know, right?
I'm just kidding. It's not about strength. It's about position.
Yeah, exactly.
So once you get there, if they try to move you off the block like they used to, it's going to be fouled. So I'm even more excited to see who it could be, three or four mid-majors that are represented going deeper in the tournament, just because I think that they're balancing it out. They're taking away the strength of the game and going more to skill.
And that's got to make it better for the fans, right?
It is right now. It's a stretch because we're in that in between stage where players don't know how to play with the new rules, and so there's a lot of fouls being called, which is making the game a little bit slower.
Mm-hmm.
But as time goes on and the referees keep this consistent, it is going to be a lot more fun for the fans because it's going to be a consistent game across the board, and it's going to equal more points on the board.
Right.
And so fans are going to love that. That's more points. I mean, and you've seen some of it now.
Yeah.
We've had some teams out there, I mean, shooting like 50 free throws in a game, you know, which has really slowed it down. But you've also seen some really high scoring games.
Yeah.
I had a women's game the other day. I looked, it was like 117 to 93. And I was just like, what is going on?
You're going to see more threes on the floor?
Well, what you'll see is the coaches and the players will adjust, so they'll stop fouling.
Yeah.
And when they stop fouling, that means guys and ladies are going to be able to get by to the first defender and score points a little easier because the secondary defender, if they're not set, then they have to now allow that person to take the shot. So right now you're seeing more free throws attempted.
Yeah.
As the game kind of adjusts more and the coaches adjust more, you'll see – you should see more free-flowing basketball.
Definitely be recruiting more offensive players.
Yeah.
Well, here's to a great season. Good luck to both of you folks as you take your women's team and your men's team. And we hope we'll be sitting here in March doing a follow-up program.
That would be awesome.
On what's it going to be like, you know, going a little deeper into the year, into the spring than just the regular season. Best of luck to both of you.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Rob Jeter and Kyle Recklitz, the two head coaches for the men's and the women's program at UWM, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. Go Panthers. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week at the same time. I'm Tom Lujack.
You have been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.